Right. I recognise quite a lot of faces in here. But some people haven't seen me today so far, have they? Right. Okay. The thing that I do covers very similar ground in some points, but even if you've heard some of it this morning, it doesn't hurt to hear it a second time of like how the mind works, because if it's only the second time you've heard it, it'll sink in better anyway. Okay. But I won't be repeating much of this stuff. So, okay, welcome everybody. Lovely to meet you all. This is about bringing more love and joy into your life. As you might have guessed, I've got lots of it. Can you start? Okay. Now, the thing that I wanted to talk about first is about accepting where we are now. Okay. So, if I were to give you a map and said, right, this is where we are now, and we put you on it, and I said, and the way to get out of here is you go left, and then you go right, and then you go out the main gate. Okay, you get back to the main road and be able to get home. But lots of people don't accept where they are now. They'd rather have been somewhere else. And so what they do is they set off from a place that they think they should have been at. And this particularly applies to people who've done really well in life and then they don't. They do very well in life for a while. And they still think they should have been where they were before they lost it all. It also applies to where we are with what we think. So even with things such as weight loss. If you're of a certain size and you think, well, I didn't really want to be this size, I'll pretend I'm not this size, you actually can't do so much about it because you're actually setting off from a false premise of where you actually are. If you don't believe where you are now, you're actually setting off in the wrong direction. So the first thing I say to any client that comes to see me in my consulting room is, you are where you are now, in that chair, talking to me. Right? And it sounds silly, but if you don't accept that that's where you are now, if you'd rather not have been here, sorting your problem out, you're somewhere else, I can't cure you because you won't be here. Right? And you'll set off in the wrong direction. And so what I'd like you to do is accept that you are here today, listening to this, and you are wherever you are in your life, and the circumstances you're in at the moment and everything else, there's not anything you can do about it. Because every single decision you've made in your life has led you to being sat here today. Right? At any point, if you took a left turn instead of a right, I wouldn't be talking to you now. Right? So you've got here down a certain route, a route all of your own. So I want to talk about getting more love and joy into you. And so that's relative to where you are now. So it's not about getting love and joy into your life, because I hope you've got some. And sometimes I chat to people, particularly people who've had serious problems, and I deal with a lot of abuse as children and so on. And I'll say to them, right, let's anchor this happy feeling we've got. So bring on something, think of something happy, and then we'll anchor it. And they go, don't know. And they can't think of one single happy thing in their life. Now that is a terrible life that they've led to live. If you can't think of anything happy in your life, that you can just bring it on, that's quite bad. But that happens a hell of a lot of times. But this is about bringing more joy and love in your life. So I'm going to assume you've got some joy and love in your life. And the strange thing is, the more we recognise that we already have it, the more we can have of it. Right now, if I was to say, I was going to bring a mirror round, I'm not going to do this by the way, if I was going to say that I was going to bring a mirror round and hold it in front of each one of you, and just ask you to look in the mirror and say, I love you, to the mirror, to yourself, how many people here could do that? Right. About half of you. There's one over there who couldn't do it 3-4 weeks ago. Right. And it's a very strange thing. That means that half of you that can't say that. And that's quite, it sounds quite a strange thing to those of you that can do it. But I've taken people to mirrors and just said, just say I love you in the mirror. Even if you lie, just say it. and they will stand there and refuse point blank to do it. And then if I force them, they'll burst into tears and all sorts of things, because they won't, not only they can't say it, they won't say it. Isn't that strange? But I'm going to ask you all to do it, not now, but when you get home, I want you to do this little thing where you lie to yourself. So those of you who can do it, and tell yourself every day, please. Those of you that can't do it yet, I want you to go home, I want you to look in the mirror, and I want you to, however long it takes, stand there and be determined to stand there until you can say, I love you. Even if it's the biggest fib you've ever heard in your life. Right? I would like you to do that. Not for me, but for you. Because this thing will change you. Now, the way the brain works is that if you tell it something often enough, it starts to sink in. Even if it knows that you know that it's a lie. And this is how affirmations work. So if you say an affirmation often enough, it actually starts to sink in, and you start to sort of build it into this loop system. So I'll explain this loop system. You start to build into this loop system that you hear it regularly enough, you believe it. And it's the same or the identical process, but in reverse, of being told you're stupid as a kid. You hear you're stupid often enough, and you actually believe it, eventually. Even if you know you're clever. It will override you knowing you're clever, and start to tell you, yeah, I'm stupid, because everybody tells me I'm stupid. And strangely, it's usually only one person that tells you you're stupid, but you build it into everybody thinks I'm stupid. And so affirmations work on that way, of this complete repetition of things, saying something over and over and over again, until eventually the unconscious goes, oh, I give up. You can put it on automatic now. Right? You don't need to consciously think about saying that thing anymore. I'm going to take it over for you. Right? It might not believe it. It doesn't matter. Right? It doesn't matter whether it believes it or not. Now, to me, that's a waste of a lot of your life. Because saying something over and over again that you don't believe in the hope that eventually you'll believe it is a pretty long-winded affair. So I do a thing where I talk to my own unconscious. And I'm going to show you this in the next few moments of how to talk to your own unconscious. Would everybody like that?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to show you how to do that in a few minutes. Because the unconscious runs all these loops. So in the main, your unconscious is your best friend. Now, we sometimes don't think it is because we hear voices in our head. And if you're actually saying, I don't have voices in my head, that's the voice. So, when we say these voices in our head, we're actually not aware of where it's coming from. So we believe that's the unconscious. And I must explain why I call it the unconscious. It's the unconscious because it's you're unaware. Subconscious is the awareness. The unawareness is the unconscious. It's not the subconscious. That's what it's often called, but it's not below anything. Your unconscious is far superior to anything you've got. So your conscious brain thinks with 8 bits of data. If I were to tell you my phone number now, 1 digit at a time, and then ask you to remember it and carry on talking, you would either hear what I said next and forget the number, or you'd remember the number, but you wouldn't hear what I said next. Don't intend to prove that, but just take my word for it. Your unconscious has 100 trillion data points, and they can all connect to each other. And I read a book recently that said the amount of possible connections of 100 trillion things having limitless connections to each other is more than the number of atoms in the universe. So when people say we only use 90% of the brain, or 10% of the brain, they're not kidding. We have limitless capacity in our brains. And it also sends and receives signals. But that's a whole different topic for somebody else. Okay, so what we have in our background is all these things that we've learned. And every time we learn something, we take a lesson from it. So just something as simple as an interaction where we talk to somebody else, we learn something from it. even if you chat over the garden fence, you learn something from it. Or somebody tells you about something you haven't heard before, you learn something from it. But if it's combined with a strong emotion, then we tend to take on that learning at a far deeper level. So if I were to ask you your memory of things, most things that you'll remember either have a strong emotional connection, whether it's sadness, happiness or whatever. But if I ask you what you had for breakfast 2.5 weeks ago, you would remember. Why? Because there's no strong emotional bond. You might remember if you always had bacon and eggs every morning, and you go, well, I must have had bacon and eggs because I had that every morning. But if you don't have a strong emotional connection to it, then the memory fades. And I often look through old photograph albums, and I'll see pictures of me as a 13-year-old. Always had to have a skinhead haircut when I was going on holiday. So, and I would always stand to attention for photos. So I'm stood in Scotland somewhere, and I've stood to attention on this photo, and I can remember the photo being taken. I remember a bit of the holiday and everything else. But without that photo, I doubt whether I would have that recollection of that holiday. And that's because I've reinforced the memory every time I go back to it. And the way that your memory works is, every time you revisit a memory, you change it subtly. You change it in a way that actually you put back in the new memory and you overwrite the old memory. So if you start to falsify a memory, if you change it around slightly, it actually goes back in a different way. This is why funny jokes get funnier. So you tell them about an event that you went to, and you tell how Uncle Fred fell over and knocked all the things off the table, and the next time, and you tell it to somebody the week after it happened, and that's the actual thing, but you enhance it slightly, and suddenly instead of a glass, there's 3 bottles and 2 glasses. Somebody laughs, and the next, so you put it away there, but you put away the new story over the top of the old one. And when you bring it up again, you actually enhance it a bit more, and then you put it away, and it enhances the old memory, and it overwrites it. When we do the same with things with bad memories, we actually enhance the bad memory with it. So if we remember trauma, we actually remember it with all the detail and all the terrible things that was with it. And when we go back there, if we tell somebody and we emphasise the trauma in it, we actually increase how much it affects us. This is why sometimes if people go for counselling, they'll actually get worse before they get better. Because they'll actually build the story and they'll build it up into something. And because every time you put it away, you actually change it, if you actually enhance the story and it's a trauma, you actually make yourself worse each time you put it away. But the great thing about seeing somebody for like 2 years every week is that eventually you pour your heart out so many times and you think, I've told this person it before, they don't need to hear all this. And so you don't sob at the bit where you used to sob before, cry or bawl, and you actually keep doing that until you get absolutely fed up of telling this story, and then eventually you're better. Ta-da! Now, you can miss that bit out. You can actually just go to that memory and have it change round and put it back in there, and you can't reach it anymore. You can't reach all the emotional bits or with it. So I know I'm talking about love and joy, but the main thing about love and joy is we usually have something that gets in the way of it. Right? So if we have a lot of emotional baggage, however much we try to get love and joy, it sort of seems to be overwhelmed by this thought that comes into your head about the other stuff. And so we're trying to think about the good stuff, but the bad stuff overrides it. Now, the great thing about thoughts. Everything you see in this room was a thought at some point. Even me. I was a thought of my dad feeling a little frisky one night. Okay. And it ended up as me. Now, if my mum had had a different thought, I wouldn't be here before you. So everything starts off as thoughts. Even in your garden, the things that you planted in it, you planted them there. So it's there, so it eventually grew. But when we have thoughts, we often have thoughts each day of doing things that we don't get around to doing. Right? And those thoughts just go away. But when we have bad thoughts, we actually think they're real and true and urgent and important. And they're not. They're just thoughts. What we don't realise is we're in charge of those thoughts. Now,
because of this loop system,
so what happens is you learn something.
Let's go to the example of driving a car. So
you get in a car and you've never driven one before, and the instructor says, okay, this is what you do, and explains all the gears and everything else. And then they go, right, fire the engine up, and then they go, right, now put that thing in there called the clutch, and they put it into gear. Now, you press the accelerator down, and you bring this pedal up. Now, that's a bit silly. Well, I don't know if they go together. But you put one down and bring one up. And you're just doing this, and he goes, right, there's a biting point, and then you have to accelerate, and then, but not too much, and you're doing all this. And then he says, a mirror. And you go, whoa, I'm doing this and this. I'm not mirroring as well. You know, you're not going to that. But, and you could jerk down the road, couldn't you? You could get this wrong, and you could go down the road like this. I bet you £10 you can't do that now. If I took you out to your car and bet you £10 you could do it, I'd be a lot of money in pocket. Because now the automatic reaction would take over, that you let the clutch out and you accelerate it all. You can't actually do what you used to do. Right? So everything we do first in our life, we do consciously. And then when we've done it enough times, we pass it over to the unconscious and go, you have it. I don't need to even think about this now. And so the unconscious takes it over.
But it takes it over with everything.
So even the bad stuff that you've learnt, you've put in there, and you've put it on this conveyor belt, and it's going round. So when the bad stuff happens, so imagine that, relationships. So something happens and you fall out with your partner, and this is the same as you going to the airport with every suitcase you've ever had for every year that you've been on holiday. And you carry them round with you every holiday. This is what you do with your head. So you carry this around with you. So you fall out with your partner, so you open up the case, all these cases are yours. So you wait for the case to come round with relationships on it, and you've just had a little bit of a spat with your partner, and your partner's going, what the hell did I say? Because they've said something fairly innocuous, and they've had their head bitten off. But what's happened is, you've opened this suitcase up called relationships, and you've put this new stuff in, and you've stirred it around with all the other stuff that's in there, and then it's gone, oh God, yeah, it's happening again. Yeah, it always works out like this, and you've stirred it all around. So you've got this whole pot of things that's stirred up that you're now aware of, and it's because of a thing called association. So when we have a strong feeling about something, we put it away in memory, we actually then have the association. So somebody else triggers it off with something similar, and then we go back to what everybody else ever did to us in that circumstance. So my idea is, if you have this trolley full of cases to go on holiday, and it dated back one every year for your life, you actually would only want to take the recent one with you, wouldn't you? Because the other cases might have something for a hot country, and you're going to a cold country. It won't fit you anymore because you was two when you wore that last time. It'd be out of fashion. It's all sorts of things. But we do, we carry on with all these old things, all this old baggage that we don't need, and all we need to do is cut the ties with it. So I'm going to talk about how you do that. So I'm going to whiz through this very quickly because there's a lot of things I want to put in today. So we're going to get back to talking to your unconscious, because you can actually say to your unconscious, this is what I want you to do. Now, this old loop here is very strengthened by now because it's been running for however old you are. So when you first put it in, take that age off your age now, that's how long that loop's been going. And so when you first learned to drive and did the clutch and the accelerator, you were sort of like working it through, you made a neural pathway that said clutch, accelerator, this is how it works. The more you do it, the more it builds this really strong pathway there. And so it carries on going. And the same happens with pain. If you have pain at all, and it's more than 3 months old, and the actual injury has gone away, that pain is now just a mental process that gives you pain. There is no need for anybody to be in pain more than 3 months. Right? Because the thing will have healed up. So So it's actually part of the mental process. So because you've been in pain for so long, it's made a neural pathway to turn into a neural motorway, and it forgets to turn off. That's all that happens when you have old chronic pain. You can actually turn that neural pathway off. But you have to bargain with it. So you have to bargain with your unconscious. You have to talk to it, and you have to say, that loop that you're running at the moment, let's talk about pain. So that loop you're doing at the moment of that old injury I got, you know, 6 years ago, I don't need that anymore. I don't need to be told I fell off my horse or bike or whatever. I don't need reminding of that, because everything else has healed from it, except the pain. So would you like to turn the pain off for me, as long as it doesn't do me any harm? And it will turn the pain off. So you just need to learn how to talk to your unconscious. So we're going to do that now. Okay. Is everybody able-bodied in a way that they can stand up? Are we all ready to do that?
Yeah.
Right. Well, can you think about it a second? Right. Just get yourself somewhere where you can see me. Okay. Now, escape mode. Okay, so this is a method of getting in touch with your unconscious. So I'm just going to show you how it works. So with Trudy, what I'm going to ask her unconscious to do, and I do this on a regular basis so it knows me, so I'll do a lot more work with you to get through this process, but I want Trudy's unconscious now, just take 3 deep breaths. I want Trudy's unconscious now just to show everybody in the audience that she's got an unconscious, and to give her a sign for yes that is so profound that she will know it's a yes from her unconscious and she's not doing it for herself. Okay. Right. Now, the idea of this is not to fall over or anything, I don't want anybody hurting themselves, but I want you to get in touch with your unconscious. So I want you to put your feet fairly close together, so it's not a really good, you know, you're not in a stance where you're really well balanced. And I want you to go inside to yourself and just take a few deep breaths. Just allow yourself to relax. Okay? You can close your eyes if you like, you can keep your open, whatever you want to do, but just chill out a bit. And just allow things to happen. There's nothing spooky at all about this. This is your unconscious mind that works for you every minute and every second of your life. It's been running your heart, your lungs, your blood, your temperature, your posture and everything else. Okay? So I'm going to say to your unconscious, thank you for doing everything that it does for you. And in the future, you're going to start talking to it. And I want it to recognise that you are going to do things and ask it to do things and undo things that are in your best interest. And I want to apologise to it on your behalf, is that all these things are what you put in there. It's running it for you, but it didn't put them in there. So it's not its fault. Anything it runs for you is better than what it thinks the alternative is. So thank you, your unconscious, for everything you do for them. I'd now like you to give everybody here a sign for yes. That might be pulled forward or backwards or sideways, but I want you to do it in such a way that you'll feel like somebody's tugged you. And if you've got your eyes closed, you might even want to open them when you feel it. And as soon as you've got a yes, please sit down. If you haven't got a yes, stay standing and I'll go through it with you a bit more. Okay? Right. So, here we go. Thank you, Trudy. Sorry. Okay, just give yourself a bit of a shake then first. No, don't get away with it. Okay, if you want to do this and you want to stay there. Right. Okay, so just shake a bit. Just loosen off. Okay? 3 deep breaths. Recognise and just follow your breathing, control your breathing. You look frightened to death. just enjoy the process. Or if it gets too much, do sit down. Okay. But just enjoy the process and just understand this is only you accessing your unconscious. Just to ask it for a yes, that it's willing to join in with you, and that it wants to prove to you that it does exist as a separate sort of entity of your body.
And as soon as it gives you a yes, you sit down. Right? So just close your eyes for a second and just allow it to do it. This is not you doing anything. You don't have to try to do this or even try to stop this doing it. Just allow your unconscious to actually work your body for you. Because it's working everything else, heart, lungs, the whole lot. Okay? And as soon as you get that feeling, it might just be a little sort of wobble on your feet or whatever, yeah? But there you go. Okay. Take a seat. I'll see you separately afterwards if you like to go through. Okay? Right. So, that's the first time you contacted your unconscious. So, what you do from now on is you actually talk to it in a way that it has to accept that the thing that you want changing is far more important and better for you than the thing that it runs already. Bearing in mind this is run by the 100,000 connections and that your conscious is the 8 bits of connection, so you, instead of doing affirmations or formations and all the other things that you repeat to yourself with your conscious, this is a method of feeding it back into your unconscious to let it do it automatically. So you're now using the power of your unconscious to do things instead of the power of your conscious. And this is very helpful for people who can't meditate or struggle to meditate because there's so much going on in the head. This is just literally a method of saying, "Hi, unconscious, you know, this is what's happening today. I wasn't very happy with this part of my life. I'd like to change that." The reason for it is, now you have to actually explain it out. Because it's run this thing for so long, it's actually going, "Oh, I'm doing good things here. What are you doing? You're interfering with it." This is why we don't like change. Because it seems difficult. And because change is always moving from the known to the unknown. And that seems scary at times. But if we don't change, we die. Change is all around us. It's inevitable. As soon as we accept that fact, we have a better life from it. Okay, so that's about how your unconscious sort of tries to stop you doing things and why you need to change it at that level. So I'm going to talk more about love and joy now, because that's the sort of explanation that's out there. Let me have a slurp of water. Now, in life, we start over here at birth. And eventually, we don't know where on here, we end up here as death. Right? So, if you talk about, "Well, I'll be happy when I get to the destination," well, welcome to death. Okay? All we've ever got is this journey. Right? Now, this journey might have lots of stops on it. And so, when we plan to go on holiday, we don't plan to go there and stay there forever. We plan to go there for the next 2 weeks. So, that's fine. So, that's a step on the journey. And the same with your life. Everything you do is a step on the journey. And at times we realise we're going in the wrong direction, so then we can turn here. But if you're absolutely, you know, "That's where I'm going to, I'll be happy when I get over here," well, most people, the sort of the coincidence of people who love work dying at retirement is incredible. Because that's all they've lived for, so now they get to here and they go, "I can relax now." Well, they take the next step and they off they go. So just remember that this is all a journey. Now, you can either take the scenic route or you can go directly there. But that seems an awful waste of a life to go directly there. I mean, take the scenic route. Enjoy what you do. And if you think about happiness, if I actually get you to think now about something really happy. So just think of an instance, whatever one first popped up into your mind, even though if you analyse it now you think, "Oh, that's not great yet." Just take that for an instance. And that won't be the little giggle you had this morning with somebody. Right? Because that should be the everyday thing that happens to you. There should be this fun and joy in your life all the time. Not just waiting till, you know, the massive wedding or whatever. We also have the thing of buying things, and we get excited because we're saving up to buy this new house or new car or the yacht or whatever, and we can get excited and we almost enjoy this, you know, working 19 hours a day until we get there, and then we buy this thing and we're really happy with it and we show it to everybody,
And a week later, it actually doesn't give us any great happiness anymore. It's nice, and it's a bit flashy, and it's a bit showy. And now we have to maintain the thing that we bought. And in fact, the wealthier, yeah, the more things we have, the more things we have to maintain. So joy, love, and happiness doesn't come from great wealth. In fact, I'm yet to see a millionaire who's happy. Has anybody ever seen a happy millionaire? Miserable bastards. I mean, they are. And the trouble is that the happiness is taken away from them in many respects, because if you get used to going for a meal that's like £500 with a £200,000 bottle of champagne, you go for a bag of chips, you don't enjoy them. It's like, oh, I've had something better than this. And even when they go for these fantastic meals, oh, I've had something better than this. And it's always about the thing that was better than that. It's always the comparison backwards. Whereas we can enjoy the really simple things in life. I'm going to do an exercise with you in a few minutes about love and joy. Let me just see if I've got anything else to fit in. How are we doing for time? Half past, right, okay. Right, okay. So, I'm going to explain something about love. And having a heart that is capable of being broken. Will anybody here admit to having a heart that they've sealed off now? That's a larger amount than I thought. Okay, when we get hurt, when we get hurt really badly, we say it breaks a heart. And when we break a heart, that's it left wide open. And so we pretty quickly heal it up. And it's so painful that we actually say, I'm not letting anybody else back in there. That, to me, is the greatest tragedy in life. You seal your heart up. Because your heart is not for receiving love, it's for giving love. And as soon as you seal it up, you trap all that love inside, and it dies. You've not just got scars there, you actually held everything in. The only way you can get over this is to open your heart up. And somebody else might break it. But my God, you'll have some fun trying. Right? Let people into your life. And it might happen time and time again that somebody breaks your heart. And if they do, you need to look for the common factor. And this is usually down to selection. Because I know people who have had lots of different relationships, and then they'll point to that particular gender and say that, well, all of them are no good. Okay, I have to make this applicable to both sexes, but you all know what I'm talking about here. Okay, so they'll make this generalised statement. Well, none of them are any good. And just go inside you now and say, is that true? Is that absolutely true? Is there no female in the world that's brilliant, or no guy in the world that's good? All of them are bad. Because you've selected several of them and they've all been that way. Just look at who selected them each time. And just look for the need it fulfilled in you. Is that I had this thing once that I was called a good guy. And it wasn't, oh, he's a good guy. It was like, oh, he's a good, goody goody guy, you know. Like some sort of obnoxious thing was a good guy. I'm the only guy on the planet that knows how many flowers is too many flowers to buy a woman. Because I actually got dumped for buying 5 bunches of flowers in 4 weeks. Okay? She told me she liked flowers. But she obviously certainly saw it as some sort of neediness in me. So I got dumped for being the good guy. So I went out and bought a book, and it was called... I won't tell you what I typed into Google, but I ended up with a book that was Be the Bad Guy That Women Love. But I will tell you what it was. And I typed in, why do all women like bastards? Yeah. And it came up with this book. And I thought, well, I'll buy it. Not because I want to be a bad guy, because I don't, and that's not my nature.
But I want to understand why a woman would choose a bad guy or a good guy. And basically, it boils down to the fact that a good guy is predictable. And there's no excitement in a good guy. And if you get a bad guy, a womanizer and all this, he'll treat you really wonderfully at first, but you'll always be thinking about it. Because you'll be going, I wonder what the hell he's doing now. Because he should have been here. And so he's constantly on your mind. And you confuse that with love. Because he's constantly on your mind. It's a really strange thing. So, love is something that we give out. It's the only thing in the world that you can give away and you have more of it than when you started. Right? If I've got £5 of love in my heart and I give you all half an ounce each, I've now got all those half an ounces extra in my heart because I've given that love out. You get that? Okay? If I keep it all to myself, I'll have a shriveled up heart because I'm not giving it away. Because it goes stale. Right? So you have to get it out there. So people go on these, I've saved you all a fortune, you don't have to go to India or anywhere now to find yourself. Because it's actually in there. Right? It's in there. And you can achieve it any time you like. And you can achieve it any time you like by altering your posture. So put your shoulders back. And think happy thoughts. Because if you lean forward and you do that, you can turn yourself into depression. Right? And it's a dead easy thing to do. You can move from one position to the next. And quite often when people are in therapy, you can do something like you say, right, that problem that you've got, just think about that problem, and they'll change body shape. And if you move their arm, you say, how's that now? You start off with a 10 of the problem, and you move their arm, and it goes down to a 9. Then you move their other arm, it goes down to an 8, and you move the head a little bit, it goes down to a 7. Because they have to assume the body shape to get into that mode. Yeah. So when you're not feeling right, start to do something different. Move yourself. And this is why exercise is so good for people in depression and so on. So love. So we're actually full to the brim of love. We just need to get it out there, and then we get it back. So my story is a personal one, and it includes Trudy over there. Everyone say hi to Trudy. On the 2nd of November last year, I attended this show. I did the Saturday with nothing really much happening, and the Sunday, I came in, and it was a bit quiet, and I sat on the chair, and I did exactly what I'm going to show you how to do in a few seconds. And I sat there, and I sent love out, and it took me 5 minutes or less. I sat there, and as I came out of it, put my hands down, and I sat on the stool, and I looked out, and Trudy was walking across towards me with a big grin on her face, and chatted to me, and we fell in love, and we've been together ever since. So this is a very... little tears, eh? So this is a practical demonstration of something that I know works. This was not me sending out a magic spell to attract the woman that I love. This was me sending love out. This was not asking to receive or expecting to receive. Because what we expect to receive, we then get annoyed with when it doesn't happen. So all I'm going to ask that you do is that you do this technique as often as you want to, and that you send it out with no expectation whatsoever. But I will tell you now that you'll get more back than you send out. And it's instant. So, everybody want to do this technique? Does everybody want to do this technique?
Yeah!
Okay, right. You'll be pleased to hear you don't need to stand up for this one. Eventually, I'd like you all to love yourselves, okay? Because that's the start of it. That puts you in the right place to do this. But you can do this until then. And it might be that the more love you get back from this, then you put yourself in the place where you can then settle for the right place, if you know what I mean. Okay? So the more often you do this, the more love you will have in your life. And that is guaranteed. Come for your money back. Costs nothing to enter the dating. Yeah. Okay, so
I want you to all take a nice, comfy, relaxed stance. This is only going to take about 5 minutes. So just get yourself nice and relaxed. And I'm going to lower the tone a bit. That sounds bad, but I'm going to lower my tone a bit. And get a bit more hypnotic with you. So I just want you to breathe deeply. I'm not going to put you in a hypnotic trance. You're going to do all the work. Okay? Just want you to breathe a few deep breaths. And as you breathe in each breath, just allow that positive energy into you. And every time you expel a breath, just think of negative energy leaving your body. Now I want you to imagine somebody or something that you love absolutely and unconditionally. Right? If you haven't got a person this applies to, think of a family pet or something. Think of some being that you have. Anybody struggling with that at all? To find somebody. Okay. So I want, when you think of that person, I want you to just bring up the image of them and just feel the love and connection between you. And then feel it in your body, wherever that may be. Just feel it in that part of your body. And just think of it as a bundle of energy that's swirling round and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Just start to swirl that energy around. Just feel that love and that energy that you feel towards them. And just start to expand that love out and spin it right around your body until it fills every part of you. It's all into your head, it's all over your body, it's down your arms and legs, and it's getting to the point where it's trying to burst out your skin. You have so much love inside you, you're just absolutely filled with love, and you need to give this love out, and you need to give it out to other people. And in fact, what I'd like you to do, if you can, is to send it to everybody in the world. Even the bad people, because they need it more than anybody. If more bad people had love, they'd stop wars and everything. Right? But if you can only send it out to the good guys, do that. But where you can. So fill that body up with it now. Feel it bursting out your skin. Now, allow it to expand quickly, rapidly out of you. Fill this room up with love. And just feel the difference in the atmosphere in this room now as it's all filled with love. Now fill it out across Lincolnshire, send it across the country, send it further out, send it right across Europe, across the seas, and see the world of the big, big globe, and see all your energy and love setting off in every single direction, and encompassing everybody in the world. They're all being absorbed by your love that you're sending out. And that love now is going right round, it's coming right under the globe, and it's coming back now, and it's coming right up, and it's multiplying with everybody else's love that's joining in, and it's coming back into this room now, and it's entering your body, all from you, and just feel that wonderful love. And if you want to hold on to this, just touch your thumb to one of your fingers, and just hold that for a few seconds, just feel that wonderful love and energy as it enters your body, and hold on to it for as long as you can. And when it fades, just break that connection between your thumb and your finger. And just let go. And come back into the room. Whenever you're ready. How was that? You feel it? Okay. Now this connection here, when you do anything that brings you into an altered state that you like, you can trap it. You can hold on to that state. And you can do this so that you can use it at a later date. It's a bit like charging a battery up. If you get yourself into an emotional state that's really good, do something that you wouldn't normally do. Right? If you itch your nose or something, you're going to look silly in the street. So something like that, if you don't normally do that, just touch that across, but do it in the peak of feeling good. And as soon as the peak wears off and you're getting back to normal, let go of it again. What you're doing is you're making an association between that and feeling good. And what happens then is, if you do this on a regular basis, you can bring this feeling on virtually any time anyway, quite quickly, just by visualising the love you have for people, sending it out around the world. And if you ever get to a point where you're feeling down one day, you won't feel up to doing that, because you won't feel that you've got love inside to share with anybody else anyway. You can do the reverse. Touch your finger to your thumb, it'll actually bring that feeling on. About 4 years ago when I was in training, I went through this really intense training for about 5 days. And I woke up with this real awakening. And I was naked, and there was shutters on the windows, which I knew opened onto a courtyard that was private. And I opened these shutters, start naked, the sun shone through the thing, and I just went into this wonderful uplifting experience. And I went like that. Oh wow, I don't know what this is, but I'm going to have some of this. And I thought, oh, I'll hang on to this. So I did this, and he's actually bringing it back on there. And this is amazing. So I did all this, and then that day I was driving back from Scotland home. And I'm driving down the motorway, and as I'm going down the motorway, a white dove flew from the side. I was going about 85 miles an hour, no policeman in the room. And this white dove seemed to take forever to fly across in front of me. Now, at 85 miles an hour, it should have been and pile of feathers, but it just went across. And it sent me back into this, oh, that's so wonderful. And I thought, I'll capture this as well. So I went for the same place. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever driven at 95 miles an hour while having an orgasm, but it's not safe. So I don't let it go on it. Okay. So just watch when you do it. Okay. So, this is all about, you can take yourself from one state to another. You can bring love and joy into your life. You've all got it inside you. Even if you've never had it before, you can fake it until you make it. I've met people who actually don't have love and joy inside them. They don't know what it is. But they've seen everybody else with it and they want some of it. So you can actually bring it on yourself. So you can change your state at any time you want to and feel love and affection for everybody else. But you have to share it. You really have to share it. You can't keep it to yourself. You get more back than you actually ever put in. Okay, I'm going to finish in a second. But before I go, because I forgot to do this last time, my talks are all recorded, so if you want to re-listen to this or you want to hear any other talk I've done before, they're all on my website. I have a thing here called the prize draw beeper. If you fill that in, it will ask for an email address. And from that, all that I will ever send you is when I've done a talk or when I'm about to do a talk, and I'll send you a link to the latest. This helps me to provide products for people, so on the back of it is you can win a free CD or you can win half price of a session with me. So if you, whatever you tick there as issues that you think you have or you or your friends have, if you win, I'll pick one of those and make a CD for you. Okay. Somebody will win a half price session off of me, and that's any session including the major ones I do. I do breakthrough sessions with people, which can be from childhood trauma or anything. I normally do sessions in an hour, but I can do breakthrough sessions, and that would be take somebody from an experience that's messed up their whole life, and within 3 to 5 hours I can guarantee that they'll have a major breakthrough in it. And I guarantee that. And the way I guarantee that is you don't go home till you're fixed. Okay. Not many people do that. Okay, so you've been a lovely audience, and it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.